Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to episode 2 of our series on how to pray. This evening we'll be speaking about prayer and its processes. I am your host, as ever, the Reverend Bishop Christina Rake. I am the apostolic leader of the Charismatic Universalist Church. We are a church based in the theology of the first century. So our theology looks very Catholic in many ways. The only difference is that we have retained that social outward look of Jesus that accepts everyone where they are, that they may come to God as they are. We do not feel the need to protect God from his people, and we do not feel the need to call out undesirables. Everything in our church is open to everyone. We call all to the 7 sacraments, regardless of age, race, gender, sexual orientation, or marital status. So I welcome you to our prayer series. I need to warn you, unfortunately, that Blog Talk is having issues again. We had a nice run of about 4 or 5 months, and they just changed everything. So I've already been kicked off once. And I apologize if it suddenly goes silent or anything like that. Just give me a minute or two and I'll get back if that happens. In fact, it's mislabeled all of my music. It's a real mess tonight. But we will forge on because that's what God asks of us. Go forward and stand in the face of adversity, huh? Yeah. Well, it's not really worth our money, but we're going to go ahead. Now, I have a very quick announcement before we begin. Our Sunday morning worship and Bible studies will restart. They will resume on September 29th. That's next Sunday at 9 a.m. They are an hour and a half long. You will come and you will hear that Sunday's Bible readings. I will preach. We will sing hymns together. It's a wonderful worship experience for those who do not have a home church right now. In addition, on Wednesday nights, I will be hosting what I call the Bishop's Bible. I will sit down with you and we will read chapter by chapter a book in the Bible and I will explain it to you. I will first teach you about the New Testament, who wrote what, where it came from, and then we're going to start with Luke, which tells the story of Jesus's infancy narrative all the way to his ascension. And then we're going to move into the book of Acts. Acts, written by the same author who wrote Luke, St. Luke, it's sort of part two, and it starts from the ascension and then goes through the first church, replacing Judas, the conversion of Paul, the spread of the church throughout the Mediterranean. So we're going to begin with those two books, and it will tell the story from beginning to end of how Christianity came into being. So that will begin this Wednesday evening, and Thursday evening. It'll begin at 7:30, and then it will run every Wednesday after that. If you need to contact me, you can contact me at my email address, charismaticuniversalist@gmail.com. Okay? You can contact me for marriages, for sacraments, for baptisms, for spiritual guidance, anything you might need. Now, for tonight's episode, I've written a test. I know you didn't want to take a test, but this was kind of fun. It's sort of a personality profile. When you take this test, it will help you figure out how you think. And in figuring out how you think, it'll explain to you what would probably be your best form of prayer. Would you do better with meditation, with rote prayers, which are memorized prayers? Would you do better in the evening, in the mornings? So it's just a way for you to sort of understand how you respond to God and how you think about yourself and the way things work. I've been writing these tests for 15 years now, so I think you'll both enjoy taking it and you'll get a lot out of it. That will be available on the church website tomorrow evening. Church website is also on the show page that you may be looking at right now if you're on your computer, www.charismatic-universalist.org. So if you go to that page, there will be a tab that says prayer series. And when you go in there, all of the documents you need, exercises, forms, will all be laid out there and you can download them and work with them. Now, tomorrow night, quick announcements, it's taking a little longer. Tomorrow night on inspireradio.org, you can join me for my call-in radio show, A Question of Faith. And that is at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Inspire Radio, www.inspireradio.org. And final announcement, this church is attempting to do a fundraiser push. We haven't asked for donations, and of course, I don't take a salary. I help fund the church myself. So if you feel moved to, we do accept donations. They're fully tax deductible. Again, on the show page, you have the options for making a small donation. You can do so by PayPal. Our email address is charismatic.universalist@gmail.com. Or you can mail us a check, which is preferred because then we don't pay fees. And you can mail that to Charismatic Universalist Church, P.O. Box 4163, St. Charles, Illinois, 60174. And again, that's on the show page on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, let's begin. Are you ready to figure out how the heck to do this whole prayer thing? Now, our first episode, we talked about how to approach prayer. First, and most importantly, you have to approach prayer with honesty. Okay, you're not going to show God your representative. Like you go before him and you bow and you grovel. That's great if that's what you're feeling. If that's not what you're feeling, if you're angry at him, yell at him. He can take it. He's God. So you need to approach him with honesty, with openness, without the ego. Don't worry about trying to please him. God has no expectations of us other than to love him and to love others. That's it. You don't have to be this great mystic wise Buddha walking the earth. When you die, when I die, God isn't going to say to me, "Why weren't you Mother Teresa?" he's going to say to me, why weren't you Christina Rae? So remember, that's the most important part of prayer, to be honest. If you approach God and say, you know what, I'm just really angry and I just want to slap her. Great. Because then when you're honest with him, he can be honest with you. And you can hear that still small voice explain to you how to look at the situation and to give you peace. And that's what prayer is. Prayer isn't an end. It's a tool. It's a ladder. Climb the ladder. Get to your little treehouse where you sit with God and snuggle and stay there. That's what it is. Now, you see a lot of people who want a deeper spirituality. And so what we do as human beings is we go out and we get books and we listen to talks like this that can help us. However, one of the things we do is fall into the trap of believing that learning how to do something is doing it. All right, you might be tempted to listen to a series about prayer and believe that you've done the work of prayer. It's like the theologian who is offered the opportunity to go to heaven or to go to a lecture about heaven. He chose the lecture. All right. You know how you make a list of tasks you have to do, and once you list them, you feel like you've done them, like you've accomplished something? All right. It's almost like we feel like we've accomplished something just by thinking about the things we need to accomplish. Humans are like that. So just organizing the thoughts about our actions feel like actually acting. And so we stop there. So don't listen to this and say, okay, got it. Now I can pray, when you haven't actually prayed. It's just a tendency we all have. I personally went through a very spiritually dry place. It was a dark night of the soul. And I couldn't feel God and I couldn't hear him. And I just felt empty. And so because I felt empty and I felt like I couldn't pray, I started reading academic books about theology. Now, that's wonderful because now I have all this knowledge. But I think maybe if I just persevered in prayer, I might have broken through. I don't know. And so we need to be mindful of that. Don't read a book about how to change yourself into a better person and then think, now I'm a better person. You have to do the hard work. Change is painful. It's an ego death, and it'll feel like that. But, oh, it's so worth it. It's so worth it to climb that cross and to come back down a new creature. So hang in there. Do the exercises that I give you. And remember, this series, you don't have to listen to it in order. One does not rely on any of the others. So I've made it as easy as possible, but I hope you'll persevere and actually do the things that we talk about doing. So, I'm sorry, I just lost my place. There was a noise upstairs. Okay, when I talk about prayer and its processes, I'm talking about what I would call prayer hygiene, right? Have you ever heard the term sleep hygiene, where you're supposed to go to bed, make it dark, make it quiet, stop watching TV or the computer or the phone for an hour beforehand, always go to bed at the same time, always wake up at the same time, even if you can sleep in late, you know, all those little rituals that you have to do to have the best sleep possible. That's what I mean when I say prayer hygiene. These are the little things that get you ready for your mind to actually leave your body. So a lot of it involves your body, the position of your body. What will it be doing? Will it be clasping its hands? Will it see dark? Will it see light? Will there be a candle? Will it hear music? Will it not? And so that's what I'm talking about, processes in prayer hygiene. What is the attitude of the body when you go to prayer? Because remember, this is about releasing your mind. And in order to release your mind, you have to knock off the brain. Two different things. The brain needs to be occupied and quiet and then it'll open the door for your mind to creep out and go find God. So we need to make sure that you're in a good place. Now, you have to be flexible. There may be a time when you need to pray in your car because you couldn't in the morning. That's great. But one of the things I would say is pray every day. You can be flexible, but try to be consistent with your choices. I mean, that's rule number one. Do it every day. You can be flexible, but be consistent. Until you have made prayer a cherished habit, you can't keep changing it, or you'll just lose it. It's like anything. You know that in order for something to become a habit, you need to do it for 3 weeks. After 21 days, it will become harder not to do it than to do it. And it's the same with exercise. It's the same with any habit. You need to persevere for those 3 weeks. There is something about how your brain rewires synapses so that you require the thing that you want to do. In order to make a desire a habit, you have to have consistency. Desire plus consistency equals habit, okay? And that's what you want, to make prayer a habit. And then at some point, you'll cross a line and prayer will become an impulse. And that's what you want. So do it every day, be flexible, but be as consistent in your choices as possible. Number two, with prayer, set goals, but be realistic. It's okay to start small, but don't stay small. And let me tell you something. When you start to talk to God, you'll suddenly find that 20 minutes will pass and you're telling him everything. And that's the important part. Start small. All right. A lot of people approach prayer and they're like, I don't know what to say. Please bless mommy and daddy and my kids. And that's wonderful. But at some point, you need to actually open a dialogue. You have to open a dialogue with God so that you start spilling your guts, because that's when you'll start to let him in. When the guts open and stuff comes out, then you're empty and you can be filled up. So start small. It's like dieting, right? It's like anything new. Baby steps. Don't go in this as, I'm going to say 5 rosaries a day. Well, it's great if you can do it, but I mean, come on. There's other things you can be doing. It's okay not to sit the whole day in prayer. Number three, supplement prayer with sacred reading. What I mean by sacred reading is little snippets of some book, something, anything. It doesn't have to be the Bible, but that's a great place to start. A psalm a day, or 4 verses of something beautiful a day. And you can do that every day with your prayer, and then you'll start to think about what you read all day. And new vistas will open up. You'll start to have new ideas. You'll start to reframe things. So that really does help. Again, small, no more than 5 to 10 minutes of reading. Under the prayer series tab on the website, I'm going to put a site up, a link to a website where you can click the calendar on the right-hand side for the date, and up will pop the daily Bible readings for that day for the church. Everywhere in the world, people who go to Mass or read the daily Bible readings will read those 3 readings. It's a reading from the Old Testament. It's a reading from a psalm. It's a reading from St. Paul, one of his letters in the New Testament, and then it's a reading from the Gospel. When you read them all, it takes 5 minutes, it's very short, but you'll see the way they're constructed, they all sort of tie into each other, and it kind of helps make the Bible pop. So when you're praying, sometime during the day, make a little time for sacred reading. And again, it doesn't have to be the Bible. But this website, and I'll give it to you now, but I'm also going to post it on our church website. The website I'm talking about is www.usccb.org. stands for United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. The Bible's there, everything's there, but they have a calendar on the right. Click the date, up pop the daily readings. You could do it on your phone, too. Number four, connect your prayers to the rest of your day. One of the things that I do all the time, reflexively, if I see an accident, a hearse, a fire truck, a police officer zooming by with the sirens, I just cross myself. I just say to myself really quickly, oh, Lord, let everyone be okay. That's a prayer. Right? So try to connect prayer during your life. When someone says, oh, you know, did you hear Rachel? Oh, she broke her leg. And you're like, oh, my God, that's terrible. Right then and there, in your mind, silently, say, God be with her. That's it. And so you become reflexive about praying during the day. You know, maybe the computer breaks and you're like, oh, Lord, help, help, send help. That's it. Charles Dickens said that certain thoughts are prayers. There are times when whatever the attitude of the body, the soul is on its knees. And so remember that throughout your day. Last and most importantly, I believe, if you have a hard time speaking a prayer, and some people do, they're very visual, they're very intuitive, visualize it. So let's say you hear about Rachel and her broken knee. As you're walking back to your desk, just visualize Rachel lying in a bed and visualize heaven opening and light pouring into her knee. Just see it in your head and think, let it be so. And that's it. That's a prayer too. A lot of people don't realize that they already do a lot of praying during the day. It doesn't have to be formal. St. Paul said that we pray without ceasing, that we speak to God with what he calls inexpressible groanings. Our soul is always speaking to God. The point of prayer is to just make yourself more aware of that dialogue. Now let's talk about some of the specifics for prayer. The time of the time of day, the length of the prayer. I'm going to post with the test some exercises for you to do during the week. All right, it's kind of like exercise itself. The exercise is cumulative. If you do 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night, it's as if you did 40 minutes altogether. I mean, it fits in that way. It works that way. Same with prayer. As I said before, if you sit down and you just say a quick prayer for 5 minutes, the prayer can be as simple as, thank you for this day, Lord. I just have a feeling it's going to be a tough one. I need your help. Stand in front of me, behind me, and on each side of me. And don't let me falter in my strength. I mean, it's that simple. And sit there and say, you know, I am so sick of this manager. Just give me patience, Lord. Let me see this in a different light. We spoke last week about the fact that scientifically, right, we spoke about quantum physics, and a lot of you broke into a sweat when I said those words, but we spoke about how prayer, consciousness, intentionality, will, those change reality on its most fundamental level. So when you say a prayer, you change reality. Everything shifts and contorts and changes just a bit. And the more you focus and the more people focus, the more it changes. And so even the littlest prayer will change reality. And sometimes what it changes is you, your perception. You might have some struggles with the time and the length of time. And there's a story about a man who lived in a cave. And the Lord placed a huge boulder, 60-ton boulder, in front of his door. And the Lord said, I want you to push against this boulder every single day, all day. So the man did this. He pushed against that boulder with all of his might, every day, all day. Pushed and pushed and pushed. 10 years go by, and the Lord reappears. And the man looks at him and says, "What the hell was that? I pushed against this boulder every day. It didn't budge. You want to tell me what that was about?" And the Lord said to him, "It wasn't about the boulder moving. Look at you. Look at your arms. Look at the muscles. Look at your back. Look at how strong you are, how determined you are, how willing you are to listen and to obey me. When I tell you to do something, it's always for your good." It was never about the boulder. The change was meant to be in you. And that's the same with prayer. We push against reality as hard as we can. And reality does change a little bit, but we change even more. Now, a lot of people approach prayer and think, "I'm going to do it in the morning and the evening." Okay, morning and evening are the worst times to pray, but they're the times when everybody thinks you should. When I get up in the morning, all I say to God is, "Let the coffee maker have worked really well this morning, Lord. Where's my Red Bull?" I can't think. I know people who pray in the shower, and that's totally wonderful. I'm lucky if I don't fall in the shower. a lot of people want to pick the morning. If you have kids, the morning's the worst time. The evening, you come home from work, you eat, you clean up, you get the kids in bed. It's 9 o'clock. Are you thinking about meditating? Or are you thinking about falling into the bed until you're on the floor? Those are the worst times to pray. Now, I will teach you little prayers to do during those times, but the best time to pray is when you're in a different place, less stressed. And you may be thinking, "I couldn't possibly think of a time when that would be." It'll come. If you look, you can find it. Now, it may be in the car, and I would recommend that if you pray in the car, you don't do any kind of deep prayer, of course, because you're just going to, boom, crash into something, and you'll meet God. Don't worry about it. But let's talk about when's right for you. Think about this. Try to discern this. When you do your best thinking, do you do it when you're more relaxed, kind of tired, or do you do it when you're more focused, like lunchtime? Do you need to concentrate to make your mind go blank? Think about when you daydream. When do you usually do most of your daydreaming? Because that's the time when you should be praying. That's the time when your mind is starting to release and move away from you. So think about it. When do I daydream the most? That's the time that you should find a place to go and pray. Jesus said, go pray in your closet. He meant in your heart, but he was also warning against standing in the church and, "Oh, hallelujah, I'm so holy." It doesn't cut it with God. He doesn't like that. He's not really into show, you know. And Christ rose from the dead. Nobody was there. So this is not about an audience for him. So think about that. When do you daydream? When are you relaxed but not tired? That may be your best time. Now, in the morning, you should say a really quick prayer. I do it every morning. I wake up and I say, "Thank you, Lord, for this day." That's all you have to do. My feet hit the ground and I say, "Thank you for this day, God. Don't leave my side. Help me to be loving, patient, and kind. Amen." Perfect. And it kind of changes your day. It changes your attitude if that's your focus for the day. And at night, I do what's called an examination of conscience. And I'll put this on the website too. There's a great little prayer that says, "Forgive me for everything and thank you for everything. Keep me safe and give me peace. Amen." That's it for the nighttime. See, it's not hard. But I think you'll find after a couple of days that you'll say a few more things and a few more things. And then it'll be like calling an old friend and talking for a little bit. That's what it's meant to be. Now, prayer is that simple. And you see how when it isn't memorized, it means something more. We are going to talk about memorized prayer, like the Our Father, the Rosary, things like that. Those are important too, but they're different tools. When you want to actually talk to God, you just start saying these little lines. And as I said, if you just do those two during the day, and then that's where you start, perfect. It'll open up a door. It's so easy. God just wants a little tap. And that little tap will throw open the door, and you really will find yourself changing. So you have to also decide, do I close my eyes? Do I light a candle? Try a lot of different things. Now, prayer positions. All right, look, prayer positions is really funny, and there's a lot of innuendos, and we'll get the giggles out at first. But when you think about what's the position of your body, what's the attitude of your body when you pray, some people lay down. I can't. I will fall asleep. Every time, all the time, we can't lay down and pray. The next thing I know, it's an hour later and I'm late for something. Some people sit, some people stand, some people kneel. A lot of people feel like you're supposed to kneel and clasp your hands. If that's not how you're feeling, you know, if you're not reveling in God's majesty and glory and need to kneel, don't do it. It doesn't matter to Him. Remember, I don't even think that God can really see the body. He only sees the soul. In the Garden of Eden, after Eve had eaten the apple, do you remember God's walking in the garden and He says, "Where are you?" Because they've hidden. Why does He ask, "Where are you?" He's God. He knows where they are. He asks, "Where are you?" Because they're hiding from Him and not talking to Him. They were hiding not just their bodies, but their soul. When you hide your soul, it might be tough for Him to find you. That's why just calling out to Him and boom, you turn from a little spark into a huge shining light. I don't remember who it was, but someone had a near-death experience and described being up in space and looking down at the earth and seeing these little light beams shooting up. And she was with Jesus, and she said, "What are those?" And He said, "Those are prayers coming up. Those are the light of people's hearts praying." And then all of a sudden, a giant floodlight shot up into space. And she said, "Oh my, what is that?" And Jesus said, "That's the prayer of a mother." Doesn't matter the attitude of your body, as long as you're comfortable. God just wants to see your heart. That's the only important thing to Him. So I like personally to walk and pray. I just walk and start talking to God, maybe in the woods or something. That's one of my favorites. And again, visualization comes in. I imagine Jesus walking on my right-hand side and just talking like a friend as we walk through the woods. Visualization is key. 99.99999% of prayer is imagination. Remember, the mind controls reality at a fundamental level. If you imagine it, it becomes so. So where is the best place to pray? This is a tough one. Remember when you went to school and they told you how to create a study space, a clean desk, and good lighting, real quiet? It's kind of the same way with prayer. You might be able to pray in a noisy office or something, and that's great. A lot of people can do that, get to that place. But you need just a sacred space. It should be uncluttered, restful, quiet. It could be near a window. It could be in a dark room. It could be outside. It depends on what you need. Remember, all right, most importantly, prayer is for you, not for God. all right? Prayer is entirely for you. It has nothing to do with God. Prayer changes you, okay? I apologize for the noise. My computer's making a noise. So prayer's for you. It doesn't change God. God has nothing to do with it. You're talking to him. He does not need your prayers. So anyway, space. Space is wherever you want it to be. All right? You could be, if you're honest, and you admit your fault, and you ask God for help, then you could be naked on a street corner screaming the Our Father in Swahili, and it'll be a prayer. That's the way it works. Now, how long? This is up to you. Like I said, I recommend small little steps. I would recommend not setting time limits or saying, I have to do this and this. No expectations. If you sit down and you say, Lord, I'm trying to pray. Teach me to pray. Or, I'm here. I don't know how to do this. Show me. Or just sit down and tell them what happened during the day. And this is like meeting a therapist. It's like talking to your husband or wife. It's like talking to your best friend. This is a time of intimacy between you and God. A strong prayer life. A prayer life that is full of light and love and meaning is the difference between calling your spouse on the phone and talking and being in bed with your spouse at night. Really, you should read in the Bible the Song of Songs, also called the Song of Solomon, in which Solomon, the lover, talks about his beloved. And it's a love poem. It's erotic. On a spiritual level, that's the level of communion that God wishes to have with you. And that's what you're trying to strive for. Now, there will be parts in the series where we'll talk about how to do meditation, how to use icons, how to do rote prayer, how to pray for with the saints, how to pray for yourself. This will all be a part of this series. And when you hit these parts, you may find that this type of prayer is perfect for you. But try them all. You never know. Sometimes you start with one and then you just organically move into another. You have to let the Spirit move you and decide. I am going to give you an opportunity to get yourselves comfortable. I'm going to play a song. And then I'm going to walk you through a guided meditation. And this guided meditation will help you encounter God and do a visualization and use your imagination with prayer. And when I do this, you'll sort of see how this can work as you begin this journey, holding your Father's hand and telling him everything you've ever wanted him to know about you. So let me play a song. It might be the same song I played at the beginning because it looks like they copied me. I don't know what they did. So let me play this. You'll have about 4 minutes. Find a comfortable chair where you can sit and relax. Close your eyes and just listen to my voice. I'll be right back, folks.
Thy power throughout then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, then sings my soul. How great thou art, how great thou art, when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Okay, I hope you're someplace comfortable. We're going to begin our meditation. Now, I want you, in your mind, to imagine that you're sitting in a church. There's beautiful stained glass everywhere and artwork. You're looking up at the crucifix. You just feel the warmth and the contentment of this moment. Up by the altar, it looks like someone's coming in. He walks in a long white gown. It's Jesus. As you look at him, he wants you to look down at your chest in your mind. There are hooks in your chest, almost like fishing lines. And the lines are going out, outside through the church walls. And they're tugging, but you can't see what's at the other end of the lines. Jesus comes up to you. You want to know what those lines and hooks are. So he tells you, those are all the hurts and the pain that others have caused you, that you have not yet let go of. And because you cannot let go of those events, those people are still attached to you, pulling you when they want to. And Jesus says, I can remove those with your help. Do you want me to? You say yes. And so with his hand, Jesus gathers the lines and holds them all together. And he hands you scissors. In your mind right now, just briefly think about all of the people that you feel bitterness or rage or unforgiveness towards. See each of them holding a line, a rope that they can pull you with, a string. In your mind, take the scissors and cut the string. Jesus sits down next to you and gives you a hug. And he says, I've missed you so. God has missed you so. The angels have been watching you, waiting for you to ask for help. The Lord has a message for you. I'm going to let you hear the message. I'm not going to tell it to you. I'm going to stop and let him speak. The Lord turns to you and says, my dear, sweet child, you've been longing to say something to me, deep from your heart. Tell me now. Turn to Jesus and tell him what you've been wanting to say to God. And Jesus smiles and says, it will all be okay. I'll help you. I will always be there. But there's something I need to tell you. It's been on my heart about you for a long time, my dear. Jesus smiles and leans in to give you this important message from God. Jesus looks at you and he says, I want you to sit with Jesus. Just feel him sitting next to you. And tell him about your dreams, what it is that you want to do with your life more than anything else. Now tell Jesus all of your worries. All of the people that you fear for and you want to be protected because you love them. Now tell Jesus about the things about yourself that you would like to change. Things you need help with to be the person you know you can be. The Lord nods and says, I will be with you I am never more than a whisper away. And you stand up holding hands and walk to the front of the church. And Jesus embraces you one more time and kisses your cheek and says, "We're never apart." I want you to start to come back. Open your eyes, stretch, move your head around. Start feeling better. That's the sort of visualization that I'm talking about. You can visualize just sitting next to the Lord on a cliff looking at mountains. That's prayer too. So don't miss out on that sort of thing, where you go to Him and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Just see if He talks. See if you can hear. That's our little short talk on prayer and its processes. The form will be up tomorrow. You can take the test and find out a little bit about yourself that you didn't know before. I hope that this series truly helps you. The whole point of all of this ministry is to bring you closer to God. And remember, at the CUC, our definition of religion is one's personal journey toward the divine as they understand it. So while I use Christian imagery, your prayer does not have to have anything to do with that. If you need to sit outside and talk to Mother Earth or different spirits, please do so. You can use everything we teach you here in tools to do that. And remember, not trying to impose any sort of paradigms or imagery on you. These are just the things that I know about, and so I use them. If you need me, if you have questions, if there's anything I can do for you, I always have Skype for any of quote-unquote parishioners who need to talk to me. You can consider me your priest. You can come to me with any questions. I will be happy to help you in any way that I can. If you're in Northern Illinois, I can come and do baptisms and weddings and all of that fun stuff. And yes, I do traditional and non-traditional weddings, same-sex weddings. I don't consider them any different than any other wedding. Love is love, marriage is marriage, God is God, and all is right with the world. That's just the way I see it. Anyway, thank you all for joining us today. I hope that you have a better grasp of the different things that go into a healthy prayer life, a strong prayer life. And I'm learning probably more than you, because you learn the most when you teach. So thank you for walking this journey with me. Thank you for joining us. I hope you'll join us this Wednesday for our Bible study beginning with Luke, in which I will explain the whole New Testament, who wrote it, where it came from, what's in it, who are these four guys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all of that neat stuff. And then next Sunday morning, we will have worship. And next Sunday evening, we will have our first mode of prayer, which is intercession and the saints. That's next Sunday at 7 p.m. Thank you all for joining me. May God bless you abundantly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless your week, everyone. Go in peace.